This is Critical Nonsense, our high lowbrow show about culture, science, and tech. This week, Aaron asks Joey about ethical travel, and Joey asks Aaron about having work friends.
This is Joey, and I don't know if I have friends.
This is Aaron, and I'm your friend, Joey.
Oh my God. And this is Jess Vander, Care Bear, and executive producer.
Hi, this is Jess.
Are you our friend, Jess?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I've thought about this before, too.
Mm, yeah. Well, yeah.
I think okay. She's the Care Bear.
What color Care Bear would I be?
Ooh, not the green, because I'm the green. Sorry.
You'd be the one with the rainbow.
Called it.
The one with the heart on its stomach.
Yeah, which is like,
the
rainbow. Joyful. Yeah.
This pleases me much.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you were a power or a planeteer, you would also be the heart planeteer.
The heart? Like aorta shaped?
Well,
no.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Symbol?
Am I supposed to know what you're talking about?
You know what the Captain Planet is? Oh, no.
That's cool. He's a hero.
I've heard of this.
He's a hero.
He's a hero. He has a mullet. He's green.
Okay.
With blue hair.
There's a lot of rings.
Is he blue with green hair?
Earth,
or green
wind,
with green hair?
Fire, water.
Fart. Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's the part I play.
They can all like make the earth move and like blow wind or water or fire at the bad guys. And then he's just like, I feel your emotions.
Yeah.
They're like fighting and he's just like, it hurts me.
He's very David Bowie.
Yeah.
And actually, this is a very interesting segue to the first. Oh, wait. Do we have any housekeeping before we get to the first question?
Subscribe, rate, and review. We have some new friends that are listening to our podcast. We've been noticing. So thank you.
Welcome.
And keep telling other people because this is fun to do. We love you. And, you know, like, do your taxes and clean your house and do your chores.
And email any questions or thoughts to us at criticalnonsense at sylvanlabs.com.
Yeah, we've gotten some recent like fan notes and we love them.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to my Aunt Kathy who recently, in reply to the Mortal Kombat episode, she was like, yeah, so longtime listener and big fan, but this is
what was this?
Really hard to get through.
Yes.
We also had like love letters to the Mortal Kombat episode, but it clearly... A very
polarizing.
Divisive
yes.
topic.
But I think it's important to share with our listeners that last week, and also to tee up what our topics are today, last week, Sylvain Labs, our company, went on the jaunt.
The jaunt.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that wasn't prepared. We're just ready with...
Swear.
Yeah.
The jaunt is our annual work retreat.
Yes.
Is that a good way to frame it?
I think that's appropriate.
But unlike maybe... other companies who have some kind of training exercise or, you know, like work
trust
related
falls.
Yeah. Ugh, you know,
I never get caught.
Ropes courses.
Yeah.
No, there were no ropes courses.
Don't get caught there either.
True.
And we get to explore super awesome places. This year we went to Puerto Rico. Last year we went to Mexico City. The year before that, Barcelona. The year before that, New Orleans.
Nolens.
Fire Island, which is my personal favorite.
Yeah. Upstate.
Yes.
And in the spirit of, you know, having just gone and the entire company from our Amsterdam office, from our Richmond office, and from New York, we all sort of converge on this place for a few days. And we decided it would make sense to spend some time talking about it. And we have a couple questions today related to that experience. So
Jaunt adjacent.
Jaunt adjacent? Can we just make it Jaunt adjacent?
Jaunt adjacent.
Sounds like a name.
Yeah. Hello, my name is John. Jaunt adjacent.
Hi, I'm Jaunt adjacent.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Where's Mr. Margulies. Bourne?
Jaunt adjacent Margulies.
Okay, so Aaron, you were saying a thing.
I was, because the Captain Planet bit does link into my question. So
God, I love it when that happens.
It's right. It just settles right into your brain folds.
Yep.
Your sulcus and your gyrus.
Oh, where's my hippocampus? Okay. Anyway, a lot of the decision to, even though I was not a part of the jaunt decision of where to go and all of that. Quite a bit of it comes down to, you know, how do you take a company of 40-ish people to different places around the world in a responsible way? Like, how do you make sure that we're not being rubberneckers, that we are using this time to bond with each other, but also to be inspired by the true culture, history, and vibrancy of the places that we go. And hopefully, like, you know, have some sort of reciprocity in that exchange. And so that takes on a lot of different forms within the conversation, and it touches on something bigger in culture. And that raises the question about that bigger thing. What are the boundaries of ethical travel?
So first of all, I just want to address that you talked about my rubberneck and you said you would never do that.
I'm so rude.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is the reason we do the jaunt is to spend time with each other, to recharge, to like reinfuse and re-inspire. And so exploring cultures outside of the bubbles that we live in all the time is really important. And a lot of the cities that we've gone to have rich heritage of differing types. They happen in the past 3 or 4 years to have all been Spanish-speaking places, coincidentally. But a lot of it had to do with how we could get flights and things set up for so many people. But I think that idea of, like, how do you enter into a culture with respect? And you know, I think there is, like, a lot of burden that people are putting on themselves right now to make a positive shift in the way that we're doing a lot of things. And I don't know how far, like, is right to go or to like hold yourself to such a standard in responsible travel that then you don't get to actually do like the vacation part of vacation or like the break part. Like, if you're going in and being thoughtful and respectful, like, is that enough? I have no idea.
That brings up a very important distinction for me, which is the difference between travel and vacation and how sometimes those things are overlapping and then sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if the point of your trip is to vacate whatever stresses and things are happening in your life,
take a break.
Yeah. Having an additional, you know, the added burden of wanting to, like, not only be responsible, but sometimes volunteer, you know, like, put in work, then that might not be, you know, that might be counter to the vacating process versus, you know, are you traveling to immerse yourself in a culture? Are you there to contribute to the local economy? If that's the case, then it's almost necessary. And, well, almost all the time, it's probably a good thing to be thinking about how ethical you're being while you're traveling. But, you know, it's in that stage more necessary that you consider how to be good about it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're very, very aware that movement around the world has economic impact, regardless of why you're going somewhere.
Yeah,
like, if you have the awareness to sort of take a step back and realize that it's not just hopping on a flight to go to a place, but you're impacting GDP. Like, the reason that you went to that place is likely because of lots of campaigning by the tourism board and lots of focused efforts to garner attention and decades and more than decades of sort of reputation that's been built by different locations for bringing people to them. As soon as you see yourself as part of that ecosystem, it flips your mind, I think, from a state of I'll say relaxation or otherwise carefreeness to this hyper intentional, oh my God, what is the carbon footprint of my flight that is going to this place? What is the most, you know, like, the best way that I can counter that? Do I have to buy, like, carbon offsets to, like, make this trip? And that can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, that's the part of sort of ethical travel that I am wrestling with, I guess, is sort of where are the lines? And certainly, like, I don't know whether you can be expected to check all of the boxes, right? Or to, like, make a trip do all of those things, like, that your volunteer work is happening and then your cultural exploration and then your taking a break and then, you know, going to a place that you want to go to or that needs you, but then also is managing the burden of the, you know, the carbon cost of going, like, all of a sudden it puts a lot. And I feel like the intention of why we, like, in this room, why we would have this conversation and why we're more broadly having the conversation as a culture, I think is a valuable one. But it also goes back to some of the stuff that we've talked a little bit about, which is sort of that that level of intensity that we're putting around things where people are like burning out. Mm-hmm. And right, like, you know, growing up, I never went anywhere outside of New England for vacation with a few minor exceptions of like driving down to Myrtle Beach where one set of grandparents lived, or driving down to St. Petersburg, Florida, where a different set of grandparents lived. And those were rare. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I was just in New England. So I wasn't globetrotting. That all in one hand is like low carbon costs of our vacation. We're like staying in campgrounds and things like that. On the other side, I didn't see the world. I didn't have exposure to other cultures. I grew up in a pretty, you know, certainly monochromatic part of the country. And so there are these things of like exposure to other ideas may have a carbon cost, but may make the world a better place, may make people better people. And there is sort of this balancing of the scales, but you can't like go on a vacation and then be perfect.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I thought about when we went to Puerto Rico this year a lot is that my husband actually went down after Hurricane Maria and was a part of the recovery effort. And that was, that's his job. Like, he's in emergency management recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there on behalf of New York City. And it was really interesting, literally turning on the TV, turning on CNN. And like, he's walking, like, he wasn't interviewed by Anderson Cooper. He just walked behind him. But still, we've both been in proximity of the Silver Fox and we're both better for it.
The Vanderbilt.
The house that Vander built. That was, I just pointed to
Justin. Justin didn't approve of the joke.
That was not even clever.
It's the first time someone has referenced the Vanderbilts with relation to my last name. Okay.
How glorious of them. That was the glory of Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So
really reaching.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. So Branch was down there doing very intentional work in his job of helping figure out grant funding for recovering from that hurricane and working with the government to do that. While he was there for a good 3 weeks or so, actually 4 weeks, I think, in total. He's like, you know, trying to have a life. Like, he's on an island that is usually beautiful and all that. And so it's like trying to go to restaurants, trying to like put money into the economy. Mm-hmm. While he's there. You've got all these FEMA guys there and all that, like put money into local businesses. And then we come about a year later or a couple years later and go on the jaunt. And it's such a different place. Like, it's come so far. Like, the even the hotel that we stayed at a year and a half ago was really in bad shape. Like, yeah. The entire lobby was completely new and completely redone. And so when we're down there, I know that there was a sensitivity. Like, I know that when we've gone places, that's something that we talk about as a company, is how to travel responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there's the extreme of intentional purpose forward, like going to help places rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is also just recognizing that their economy or wherever you're going, whatever the case may be, your presence can influence their economy. So be thoughtful about where you spend.
Yeah, there was after the most recent hurricane in the Bahamas. I can't remember the name of
Dorian.
It. Dorian. I saw Jose Andres, chef of World Kitchen. Is that what it's called? World?
I'm just
kidding. Yeah. he was like a chef that has been doing a ton post-Maria around getting food and cooking for people that were, you know, affected by the hurricane. But he was in the Bahamas doing the same thing again. And he basically, you know, the interviewer, I think it was like Chris Cuomo on CNN or something, was like, you know, chef, what, when you're talking to people, what are they saying, like, other people here can do that want to help? He's like, people start by saying, like, they want to send stuff, they want to give stuff. He's like, the reality is the number one thing you can do is plan your vacation to come to the Bahamas. It will bring money in. It'll keep jobs going. Mm-hmm. It'll be an infusion of capital in the economy. He's like, you can do other things too, but if you're just saying like, I'm going to do one thing this year, it's instead of vacationing somewhere else, come here.
And recognizing that you have to kind of be, you have a responsibility to be an ambassador to that place once you get back from it.
Yeah.
Like you have to be able to say like, yeah, it's in rough shape. And we can say this, like San Juan is in really, really good shape. There's a lot of stuff going on. We had a few very, very late and fun nights out. But like also it is a place that just got hit by a hurricane. Mm-hmm. Like there are buildings that are still in really bad shape. That being said, go now. Like there is so much culture. There is so much history. There is so much to be learned about like the interplay between Spain and the Americas. And if you're not talking about colonization and Portugal's role in there, if you're not talking about colonization when you're going on an island vacation, get it together. Like, take a look. It's a good thing to simply know.
We had a great tour guide who was, like, talking to us, a bunch of mostly American but some European tourists, and telling jokes about colonization or colonialism. And I was like, are we supposed to laugh?
Right.
I get the comedic structure of that joke was on point, but I don't really feel comfortable laughing at this right now.
And actually, that's another thing is like recognizing that there is so much culture in one place. And San Juan has so much culture and it's quite, quite diverse. Our bomba class was kind of amazing. I still remember the dance. My drumming was terrible. I apologize to everybody. But recognizing like in Loisa, recognizing the African influence and really appreciating what culture has retained there and how that culture intersects with Christianity as a result of all of the colonization, all that stuff adds to my life in a really rich way.
Yeah, it's something you can feel good about. You can feel good about going and experiencing a culture of a place that wants you to come visit.
And just experiencing it rather than having to appropriate it. And I think for us, it's really interesting because like we're in our creative space. And
I did start a reggaeton band.
Good job, Joey. Can I
What's
be a
it
part?
Called?
Why wasn't I invited?
It's called Joey and the Tombas.
I was expecting just Joey and the Reggaetons, but that's cool.
That's alt.
Oh, I see. Yeah, workshopping it. But like, it's one thing to come back and all of a sudden, like, you know, misattributing or not referencing something, like referencing the roots of something that we've learned that really inspired us. It's a very different thing to acknowledge it and let it inspire you and take you in different directions and to like appreciate, for example, the mashup of cultures. And how that creates something really, really unique, like the St. John's Festival. I think it was the St. John's Festival. Mm-hmm. We'll fix it in the show notes because I can't remember what it's called. Good job, Powers. Yeah. What's up, Jess?
I'm just thinking about how every meal we had there had plantains in it. I was thinking, like, I should share that.
Yo.
Just need to let everyone know we had a lot of plantains and it was tasty and starchy.
You can do a lot with a plantain.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned. Yeah. I learned you can, what can't you do with a plantain?
Right. And nothing. It doesn't have to be, if you do something with it, guess what? It doesn't have to be elevated Puerto Rican food. It can just be plantain stuff. And you don't have to pretend that you're taking their culture, which is so native, and elevating it to something that's European.
Just have a plantain.
Just have a fucking plantain. Actually, and it's good.
I wonder if I could just get one at the grocer. Could I pick up a plantain?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, okay. We'll investigate.
Come on, plantanos.
Ta-cha.
Everybody, let's go.
That was fun.
That's it. We'll leave it there.
Bye.
And
we're Bomba.
Hey, guys. What's up? Sorry.
So let's take it to a lighter place, I don't know.
Yeah. Same place. We're still here.
We're still
here.
In Puerto Rico.
Just to a lighter place.
There's been a lot of sounds in this intro. Yes. This is your critical nonsense palate cleanse. Boop. So I've been thinking about this trip because so much of it was the foundation of it was about quality time, right? Mm-hmm. Like the idea that we would spend time together because we're in the office all the time as like workers and, you know, delivering on things. And it was just an opportunity to like get out of the office, you know, eat and drink. There's a fair amount of drinking, for better or worse. A
very reasonable, safe quantity.
Yes, at a moderated a level.
With much water.
Yeah.
Because we are safe and responsible.
And like my love language is definitely quality time. So for me, that is like a big thing. But there is also, go ahead.
A pause for those who don't know love languages. There are five.
There are five.
Quality time, acts of service, gifts.
Words
of affirmation. And
I never remember the fifth.
This is Erner.
Oh, Erner.
Physical touch.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nailed it.
Fun.
Question.
So going into this, right, like it's one thing to go on vacation with your friends. That's a very different thing, right? Like go on some trip somewhere. It's another thing to go on a work trip with colleagues, and then there's this trip, which is sort of somewhere in the middle, right, where mm-hmm. we're not doing work, we're spending time with each other, there's no pretenses put up, everyone is quite relaxed and, you know, kind of embracing things. People are you know, drinking or going swimming or, you know, going to cultural events, or, you know, like last year we went to a Lucha Libre show in Mexico City, and so it's this hybrid moment, and you realize, like, I spend so much time with the people here every day, and I know a lot about them, but when we came back and we started talking about this episode, I was like, are we friends? Are we colleagues? Is there something different? Is there a distinction between the way that you think about the people that you're close to and care for at work as opposed to the people that you're close to and care for outside of work? And by the way, I spend more time with my, if we're going to quote it, like work friends than my like real life friends. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of went through this exercise of, you know, what's the difference between a friend and a colleague?
So I'm going to story time for a minute.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, this might be really bad.
I've got my Merlot. I've started a crackling fire.
Where's my weighted blanket?
Alex.
Where's my super suit?
Alex, cue the crackling fire for Aaron's story time.
Yes. Oh, yes. I can hear it. Oh, the embers. the embers. They're
always Scottish. Yeah.
Literally Scrooge McDuck. So I joined the company, and as a person, I like some very, very firm walls. I like boundaries. I like black and white.
I'm a builder of walls.
If you will. And when, after 3 months of being here, I had a death in the family, and it was like the week before we were going on this trip. And of course, I'm like really out of sorts because I am now going to leave my comfort of my partner and my family, like after this really raw experience. There was all sorts of stuff going on as well with many other aspects of my life that had to come to fruition there. I'm tap dancing around it because we're going to save it for another episode. We'll see. But I went down to New Orleans. I got there, and I think the first moment that I sort of looked up and I thought this is going to be okay, like this being me, but also this, me and these people, was looking over at you, Joey, playing with a baby alligator on a boat in the swamp. And you were like passing it to me. And I was like, I am not touching that thing. And then I think I might have touched it and I held it and I didn't die. It didn't like snap my neck off, or I'm like touching my chin as though he like bit my chin. But it was a moment where those walls that I thought had always protected me, I realized needed to come down. And that when I had such thick walls between what was a colleague and what was a friend, I was missing out on 80% of my life. Because if I'm going to spend all this time at work, mm-hmm. I better allow myself the opportunity to get to know people and actually genuinely get close with them.
Mm-hmm. Church.
So you, yeah, I think that it's valuable when we allow those boundaries, regardless of what they are, to be not as firm, because it gives us at least an opportunity to grow and to be better off.
I'm going to weep.
I'm crying right
now.
That
was beautiful.
Thank you.
We're done. This episode is over. Let's just end it.
That's it.
Right there.
Right there.
I mean, like, no. We're lucky too, right?
No, yeah. I mean, I think, like, there's so much of how we started the company that was born out of, like, Alen, as well as Ben and myself, had both been in places where there we had been part of, like, a vibrant culture, and then we went somewhere where there wasn't. Mm-hmm. There were different places that we were at, but it was like we suddenly like realized the value of culture when it's ripped away from you, where you go from something wonderful to something, at least in Ben and my case, like quite toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the way that this, you know, you can say that so much of it has been orchestrated or things like that, but the reality is it's been an organic process. And I think Alen has had, you know, aspects of this that he has, you know, had vision to want to create, and there are aspects that like Ben or any of the team have like wanted to make sure was part of the company. It's just become this sort of like amalgam of things that people care about that can accommodate new people when they're coming in and be like, hey, you be you, we'll be us, and like let's just do some cool stuff together. And that sort of flexibility that you're talking about all of a sudden creates the space where you're like, okay, I can come to work and I can be weird and I can, you know, like let your freak flag fly, or you basically just like let the fact that you're not perfect show up to work, and someone else has got your back to support you with the things that you're not great at. And all of a sudden that gives you just like a trust in the people around you to, you know, be able to show up.
To me, that sounds like a friend.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah.
You know, and so that's why I'm thinking, you know, we go on the jaunt. I guess, you know, do we go on the jaunt to become friends?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the point? And is that why it can be uncomfortable? Because we're like, this is friend time now. And some people, some people might have barriers up that they don't want to let down because they're like, I don't actually want to be friends with my coworkers.
Yeah. And you don't know if you're safe yet. Like, it's really interesting that, like, you need, I love that, like, on day three of the jaunt, usually, if it's your first jaunt, that's when, for me at least, it clicked that I was like, oh, I got friends. There are people who, like, I definitely... Three nights ago, I actually texted Dave Vol, our program manager, and I asked him to be our emergency contact for the puppy because I got a new puppy. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Sorry to bury the lead. But it was like, he loves dogs. His girlfriend like is a dolphin trainer at SeaWorld. Like, there is it seals?
Mm-hmm.
I am very bad. Navy seals or the seals of the animal? I don't know why that.
You got a, dog, now you're a dog dad, and you just got dog jokes. Dog dad jokes.
Dad dog jacks. What?
dad dog jacks. Name of your reggaeton band.
Yeah. Yes. But like those sorts of things, like that, it took me it was just like, that's right. That's the answer. And it's because Dave is a friend. Like, I legitimately am like, yeah. And that's really lucky, because that's not something in my life that I've ever felt comfortable doing. That's
at another company.
Yeah.
And what was funny to me is, this is not, Puerto Rico was not my first jaunt, but it was interesting because this year we had a lot of people for whom it was their first.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some folks talking about, you know, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to act. Like, there were many people that felt, I think, kind of confused.
Yes.
Like, for good reason, right? It is sort of a weird interstitial space, like you were describing, Joey, and I think everyone's reply when that person asked that question, we were just like whatever.
That, in my head, that was what my response was, like, whatever,
just like be yourself. That's the whole point. And the way it was received was really funny. It was sort of like, oh, I could just be me. That's that's sort of hard to comprehend. It's not normal.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I think the jaunt has been sort of a... this is going to sound dramatic, and I don't mean it to be like for this trip to be like a spiritual thing, because that's not what it is. But like, there have been a few times where in the growth of the company, in the transition, you know, like the growth of the company has mirrored my own growth as a professional, because I've been here almost all of my career, right? And there have been a few points where there have been like, we've hit a growth spurt, my responsibilities are changing, or the things that I need to do are changing. And I think I've had sort of a self-consciousness about those shifts over different points in time. And you know, I'm going into the jaunt, like, I think at a point where, you know, we all of a sudden we either, I think it was when we had introduced studios and this idea of like, I kind of, it was like at a point where all of a sudden I became like a boss in quotes, mm-hmm. and I was really uncomfortable with that point. And then mm-hmm. we were going on this trip and I was like, it's always been so relaxed. And now I'm like mm-hmm. a boss and people aren't gonna want to like spend time with me or be around me. Or it's like, if you're the man in quotes, then like, you know, no one's going to want to be themselves on the trip. And I felt like anxious about that idea. And then we go on the jaunt and it's just like, everything is exactly how it always had been. And if anything, I'm the one acting the weirdest at times. So, you know, that sort of sets the tone of like, if that guy is being that big of an idiot, like I can let my level of idiot shine. But it has sort of refreshed. I've like left the trip feeling like, okay, nothing has actually changed. Like, I'm still me, they're still them. Like, let's keep doing this.
Yeah. And to that, on sort of like the collegial side, it's mm-hmm. also that it sort of, it breaks down, it accentuates the flatness of the company, if anything, yeah. right? Like, yeah. I had just come down with a cold before going on this particular jaunt. And so, unfortunately, a lot of the trip I sat next to a large pile of tissues, but it was also an awesome example of a time where I could sit with Alen, who is not afraid of illness because he has children, and yeah. we got to talk about my family and you know, my grandmother, and it was just like, that's so cool. And you can't have those kinds of conversations when the busyness of the workday is sort of keeping everyone heads down and focused. Like, having that kind of true moment of respite where everyone is just a human.
Yes.
It is, I think that's why it's core to the fabric of this company.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments was sitting in a cabana poolside with Jess as we're watching the 1997 All-Stars game, or like the what was it?
It was the dunk contest every year. They were like, yes. replaying dunk contests, yes. from years past.
From 97 all the way to now. And Jess, over the course of a half an hour, goes from sitting upright and slowly coughing to less and less coughing and just going more and more horizontal until she is full-blown napping in the cabana while like Muggsy Bogues is like doing air dunks. It was just such a wonderful, bizarre, like, I don't know.
Hey, I was awake when that guy blew out the cupcake candle mid dunk.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure if they should give him the 10 points because they were like, oh, he just, you know, he sort of swatted the cup, the candle out with the dunk. But then on the instant replay in the slow-mo, you could see that he actually not only dunked, but discreetly blew the candle out with a blow. And then, of course, the judges go wild. They're like, oh my God, you're amazing.
It's your birthday.
I didn't see it the first time. You know, and it's like, this is so dumb. So I was conscious enough
you were, I'm sorry.
To know.
So,
oh my God.
I love this. Yes. Can we loop back just on the question of
what is the difference?
What's the difference? Yeah. Because I think you guys have kind of landed on, like, we're friends. And I think, like, my question is, like, kind of, like, is it just a question of intimacy? Because colleague is inherently just this idea of, this is a person I work with, and that is the only reason we spend time together. And if it wasn't for that construct, I would have no interest in them as a person.
To me, it's a specific type of friend. it's, you know how you have like, you have your blank friend, your college friends, and you have your exercise class friends, or you have your study abroad friends. I'm naming a bunch of things that are lame sounding.
Not at all.
But, or, you know, whatever you, however you know somebody,
mm-hmm.
It obviously has certain ties with it. And it could be that that then bleeds beyond the confines of the offices just between you and that individual. Like, mm-hmm. you might just also be best friends in real life.
Yeah.
But I do think that having a work friendship is a value at this company.
I think that, like, colleague, taking it outside of our company for one quick second, like, if I think of past companies, like, I was not this close at all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because I have big walls. Yeah. It's not just because I'm a really master emotional wall builder. But it's also because those weren't places that valued that. And it wasn't, they were also places that didn't truly value the integration of work with the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel as though when you really talk about, like, yeah, bring your whole self to work, everybody knows that there's still like 5 or 10% you keep separate. Like, mm-hmm. there's something that you don't fully.
Probably more than that. Yeah.
Probably more than that. And that's okay. And so I see colleague as either being like people that share a physical space for X amount of hours a day, which is an unfortunate but totally understandable and could be totally necessary structure. A second, which is like someone who you've been in the trenches with, I think, like forging through the work together, dealing with difficult problems, tasks, people, all of the above can create a bond. And you can almost have your, like, work is not war. So I think that that's an unfair analogy, but
a common challenge or common enemy, right? Like,
yes.
That idea still fits.
Yes. And then there are those people who you spend all this time with and you make the effort to break through, and they do become like that other kind of friend. Like, they're just a friend from a different avenue, whether it was spin class or the pottery class, yeah. or the woodworking class. Lots of different potential
classes.
That's
how classes. You know them. That's how you
know
met,
them.
But actually, so much more.
There's so much more.
Yeah.
And that third bucket, if you're lucky enough to be in a place where you're surrounded by like-minded people,
mm-hmm.
who are looking for that same thing.
We're like different-minded people that you like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Jess, blowing my mind. That's it. Different-minded people that you like. Because where else in your life are you going to be able to have that sort of moment? Pretty great.
Yeah. True.
Fucking A.
I love you guys.
That's the name of my reggaeton band.
Yeah.
No, it's fucking J. Critical Nonsense is a Sylvain Labs production.
Recorded in beautiful MacGyver Studios, New York, New York. I don't know the zip code.
As always, we'd like to thank executive producer and reggaeton band member, Jeff Sander.
We'd also like to thank sound engineer and bomba, Alex Contel.
We'd like to thank designer Nora Mestrich for being a manatee.
We'd also like to thank the production team and all of their help, Sarah Gilbert, Les Jacobs, and Tony Vong. Thank you, guys.
And as always, thanks, Alin.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're listening.
All the time. What are you thinking? What's your special thing?
A Dugan. For being a fake manatee.
Oh, I don't understand.
A dugong.
I would like to thank Sylvain Labs.
Oh, that's fair. That's
which
wow.
Just because this episode is
sure,
it's
make
like
it better than mine.
It's like in dedication, in an homage to this beautiful company.
A lifetime achievement award for Susan Lucci.
I mean, it is a thanks to Sylvain Labs. I gotta piggyback on that. Every time that I think about past me and future me, I don't think that I could be who I am without all the growth that I've had here. Why the hell am I about to cry? Oh my God.
Now we're weeping.
I'd like to thank you for your weeping, because you made me almost weep earlier. I'd like to thank weeping.
Yeah, I'd like to thank weeping. Jesus, it's the dog. It's the fucking puppy.
Would like to thank Plantain.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Mofongo as well, specifically.
Mofongo, yo. Okay, mm-hmm. Here's the thing about Mofongo. It's sort of like a mashed plantain,
yep.
with a meat filling.
Yep.
We tasted it.
Yep.
It was filling.
I liked calling it other names like the Kembe Mutombo.
I know so little about basketball, but I know the Kembe Mutombo. It's I get to say his name like that.
I'd like to thank pools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
In the ocean.
Yeah.
Ooh. And dugongs.
I would, you and these dugongs. I'd like to thank sand fleas for not getting to us as badly as we thought they might have.
Except for Zach.
Oh, yeah. Zach got messed up.
Yep.
I would like to thank moats, which when properly implemented in front of a sandcastle can theoretically protect the sandcastle until the barrier wall falls, and then the second wave totally crushes the sandcastle that you built.
Yeah.
It's the build the seawall.
Yes. I'd like to thank the Red Hot Chili Peppers for their bandmate Flea.
Yeah. Yeah. He was all right. He was all
right. He slapped the bass.
He slapped the bass.
He slapped the bass man.
Slooper the bass man.
Hey, Jobin.
Guys.
Sorry. Full blown. That was sad.
Down by the beach.
This feels very, very middle school. But yeah, I guess other than that, thanks to you guys.
Thanks
to you guys. I know I did this already, but like, thank you for being my friends. I'm really delighted in getting to know you.
Thank you, Aaron.
You guys are good people.
I guess I would just say, I love you, man. And I love you, woman.
Yeah.
Because he slept with a bit.
Get out of here.
I'm just a lovely bunch of coconuts. Dee-dee-dee.
And they are standing in the road. Big ones, small ones.
One's as big as your head.
Kahooey!